Do you like wine? Do you like charities? With One Hope Wine, you can do both. One Hope is an award-winning company in California that is built on hope and rooted in purpose. Go to ginandcamsonehope.com or ginandcamsonehope on Instagram for more information. One Hope Wine, changing the world, never tasted so good.
Hey, this is the American Wolf, Davey Richards, and you're listening to Mixtag and Let the Hunt Begin.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Mixed Tag. It is your boy, the three-time Indian leg wrestling champion and the wrestling encyclopedia, Mr. Keith White. I kind of like, you know, mix that up a little bit because Jared's not here to correct me, and I am a lost child without that man. But I do have two people who are going to rein me in this week. I got great guests. First of all, we have the reigning, defending Mixed Tag champion of the world, Chris Sly, is in the house tonight. Chris, how you doing?
I'm great. I don't miss Jared because I get to be on the show like nearly every other week, and I've been enjoying it very much. So stay away, Jared. I love doing this show.
Jared, if you're listening, stay away.
Yeah, seriously, don't come back.
Stay far away. And then also one of our favorite guest hosts. We love having him on, and I got something to tell him in just a quick minute. But I need to introduce him so you know who's on. From History's What If podcast, Dr. Philip Reese. Reese, what's going on, man?
How's it going, Keith? I'm doing real good. It's sunny down here in Florida. Ready for this long vacation coming up with a long weekend. Oh, yeah.
Very nice. And I want to thank both of these gentlemen because you're going to hear this. This drops on Thursday mornings, but I am forcing them to record at 8 p.m. So they are missing AEW Dynamite right now, and so I apologize in advance, but that's I got good friends, because good friends do that for friends, and so they're actually on here. And I should say, Jared has never once recorded over an AEW Dynamite with me, so who's the better co-host? I don't know. but Dr. Reese, you're gonna see something on Twitter here in the next day or two. I was listening to Conrad Thompson's new podcast with a guy we're going to talk about in a little bit. And they actually started talking about what if Sting and the Ultimate Warrior had flip-flopped. And I was like, where have I heard that before? That could have possibly been an episode of Mixed Tag with Dr. Philip Reese.
I believe it was. I think you have a few fans out there.
So I can't wait to send them that and be like, oh, if you want to hear a real deep dive on what the two of you were talking about, here we go. But I'll mention that person in just a little bit. But for what I want to do first, though, we got some things to talk about today. We're talking current events today because these things are going to be upcoming. And I think it's really important, as we do on the show, this is opinion-based. We always just give opinions. Nothing here is fact. But we're fans, and fans like to be involved. So today is an episode I'm calling Pros and Cons. And the first thing we're going to talk about is going to be happening at a little event this summer called StarCast 5. Now, StarCast is put together by Conrad Thompson. It's going to be over SummerSlam weekend. And it's got a whole bunch of wrestling stars from past, present, and future coming in. They have some amazing panels. Check this out. I'm going to go ahead and read these off. Stage shows like What's Next with Johnny Gargano. The Major Wrestling Figure podcast is going to do an official stage show. That's Matt Cardona. By the way, I'm calling it right now since this thing is in Nashville. I'm calling it. Nick Aldis will make a run in somehow, some way. And then they're going to do 30 Years Later with Bret the Hitman Hart. Bret Hart's going to be on stage talking about SummerSlam 1992 Wembley Stadium with him and the Bulldog for the IC title. Then they're going to have Kevin Nash, Click This, the official stage show. One Last Ride for the Horsemen, which is amazing. They're going to get all the four Horsemen together again, and that's going to be really neat. They're doing Foley is Pod. We know who that is. And then they're going to do, which this is really cool, they're going to do the roast of Ric Flair on Friday, July 29th in Nashville, Tennessee. And I think that's actually going to be on Fight in conjunction with Thuzio and Triller. So that's going to be really awesome. But the most significant thing about StarCast this year, and it's got the whole IWC talking, is Jim Crockett Promotions is coming back and they are presenting Ric Flair one final match. All right. Now, let me say this again. I'm sure you've heard it before, but if you haven't, Tag Gang, here we go. Ric Flair, one final match. The man is 73 years old, and he's going to be doing one final match. It's going to be a six-man tag, trios, to any of you AEW fans out there who don't know what I'm talking about. And it's going to be Ric Flair and FTR versus his old opponents, the Rock and Roll Express, and an unnamed guest. Now, gentlemen, I want to go ahead and get some pros and cons from the two of you. Ric Flair wrestling again, one final match, 73 years old. Apparently he's talking about he's going to head to the top rope. Chris, go ahead. Let's be positive first. Hit me with some pros, man.
Oh, we're doing pros first?
Yeah, we got to be, look, this is a positive show. Full of positivity.
Yeah, you know, it's very positive, and I mean, I have nothing good to say. All right, listen, I personally don't care. I don't care to watch this. I don't, but I'm trying to be objective. Let's be positive for other people that might find this interesting. Here's what we'll do: it gets people talking about the event, right? So there's a pro. It gets some eyeballs on it that normally wouldn't be on it. And you know, there are some fans out there. Again, not me. But some fans out there that, you know, they get the nostalgia kick of seeing Ric Flair in there doing the, you know, the strut and then the woos and then everything else that comes with a Ric Flair match, right? Probably, you know, get beat up and then do that, like, walk around for a few seconds and then drop, like, ridiculousness.
Oh, that face plant's amazing.
Yeah, so now he's 73. How good will it look? How hard can he take the bump? You know, obviously with it being a six-man tag, they'll probably get the younger guys in there a lot more than the older guys, which I'm not sure if we're supposed to talk about who that other sixth person might be, but obviously Hulk Hogan is a name people have been throwing around and whatnot.
Yeah, so, I heard the same name.
That would be kind of crazy. Regardless, those are the pros to me. Like, there really isn't anything else because it's not going to be a quality wrestling match with the older guys in there. Now, FTR is phenomenal. I think we all can agree that they're one of the best, if not the best tag team right now. So
yes,
they could probably make it watchable. But I mean, obviously the quality of the product is going to be great. I was worried when I first heard of it. I thought it might've been like a one-on-one. I'm like, man, they're going to take spots away from people that deserved it. But with getting guys in there, like I said, with FTR and whatnot, like you're still going to showcase some of that younger talent too. So that's the extent of it for me, honestly. I don't see a whole lot of good of it, but if we're picking out, if we can try to find it, that would be it for me.
Yeah, I agree. It is what it is at this point. It's not my cup of tea per se, but let them do his thing. Let them get in the ring. If people are going to pay for it, go ahead, do so. Again, it's 3-on-3, so I don't think he's going to be in any danger. I think you're right, Sly. He's going to get in there. He's going to do his spots. He's going to go over the top ropes. He's going to do the delayed on backdrop. He's going to do the finger four. He's going to do a couple of woos, and that's going to be it.
you know, you hit the nail on the head in terms of, like, my thought as a pro is just let this guy do what he wants to do. The scary thing is, because we all are worried about his health, it reminds me in a fictionalized version of the movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. And by the way, you guys can unmute if you want, like, to just kind of jump in.
Yeah, real good.
Great movie.
You know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, it's okay. I'm going to spoil it for you now because it's been longer than we think it has, okay? It's been a lot of years. At the very end of the movie, they basically say, you know, like, if you hit that top rope and you do your move, you're probably going to die. And he decides to do it because he talks about, he says, when I'm in the ring, it's when I feel alive. Or, you know, I'm paraphrasing. Ric Flair, in the most respectful way that I can put this, Ric Flair is the guy at the bar in the Letterman's jacket who he is the athlete, he's the jock who just can't get rid of that feeling in a lot of ways, I feel like. Rocky and Rocky Balboa, one of my, you know, an underrated Rocky movie for me. You know, he talks about having that fire still, like in his gut that he just needs to let out, that beast. And maybe that's Rick. There's also the money component. We just have to, you know, that's the elephant in the room for Rick is that throughout his whole career and just his whole life, the reason he's had to go back, I mean, because he should have never had to. Shawn Michaels should have been that last match, and we should have been good with that, and he should have been good with that.
That was such a perfect retirement match.
Yes, and then the night after was amazing to watch on Raw.
Amazing, amazing.
He ended up going to TNA and doing some more matches because the man was broke. You know, he talks about three alimonies and, you know, and he's lived the gimmick and he's made.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there, Keith, with living the gimmick, because every story I've ever heard of anybody ever meeting this guy is he's always in character.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the casino. He's blowing through his money. He's drinking, you know, kiss stealing, wheel and deal. He's living it. And, you know, when people go up to him, hey, Rick, he goes, hey, brother, woo! You know, he does the whole shtick. Like, that's just who he is. Like you said, he lives it, and that comes at a cost. And, you know, like you said, how long ago was that Shawn Michaels match? Like, yeah, he had a lot of money. It probably lasted him for a while, but just keep living that lifestyle. Not to mention, I mean, let's be honest, guys, he's had a lot of medical issues in the past
year as
well. So that's going to build up quite a debt as well. So
yeah, because not wrestlers don't get health insurance.
You don't have you're at no
health insurance.
Out of pocket.
Yeah. So and you brought up great points, and I think our biggest worry is as concerned as fans, we're just worried about the fact the man is 73, and you know, and wrestling is tough, and bumps are tough, and they talk about the bump cards and only having a certain amount. But you know, it's interesting that we all three kind of agree that it's not something that we're necessarily going to watch and we don't necessarily care for, but we let the man be the man because he wants to, and he wants to do it one more time, and you know, so be it. I'm wondering how the family feels, how does his grandkid feel? You know, like how does his daughter truly feel?
Well, you know what? I was going to bring up, do you think people are enabling him to do this? Do you think people are taking advantage of a person who wants to get back in the ring? And they're saying, well, okay, if you're going to do that, let me just go ahead and make money off of it.
So I don't, and here's why.
Okay.
Ashley, you know, Charlotte, mm-hmm. has no reason to do so. She's got that Vince McMahon WWE money. Conrad Thompson is richer than rich. You know, like the people that are around him, he doesn't have his wife anymore. The people that are around him are all in great financial standing.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really serve to gain financially from this for him. Triller, Fight, Thuzio, Triller puts on all the verses. They got Jake Paul. Fight does all kinds of things. I don't see them needing to do this. StarCast does, you know, Conrad Thompson doesn't need this to sell StarCast. StarCast mm-hmm. already has a lot of things. So I personally am not seeing that in my opinion. But a couple years back, you know, when he didn't have those people in his life and he had other people in his life, yeah, I could have seen that for sure.
Yeah.
But he has a different crew around him.
Good.
I'm just still, like you said, I'm worried, you know, for his health. Chris Cruz, who was the old WCW, I don't even remember the capacity, but I don't remember the guy's name, but he was very active and has said, like, talking to, he had posted about telling athletic commissions for states, like, do not let this man wrestle. And, but I felt bad because he kind of attacked him almost personally, you know, called him an alcoholic. You know, talked about his, you know, his heart conditions and things like that. But, you know, but I understand if there's concern there, obviously we know where that comes from. So I think for us as cons, if I'm wrapping this up, our cons are just the concern for his health and well-being. Our pros are, if this makes you happy, do it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. As long as he doesn't go Sting and climb up the rafters and jump off.
Shoo. we never even got to talk about that. That could be a whole episode. My man Sting, right? Yeah. My man Sting.
Does Sting not look great for his
age? He does look great. Like, but he does have a bad neck.
He's better than half the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he looks good. Goodness. I love what he's doing, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a whole other episode, but I am happy with the truly older people in AEW. Yes, are they taking spots? Sure. But they're doing it for a short time, and they're doing it to elevate people, which is
utilized correctly.
Yes, exactly. They're not super main event. They're just, you know, I mean, everybody talks about Sting doing that, but at the same time, Darby Allin's still in the conversation, which is the whole point.
Right.
So,
man, Darby Allin. I mean, but that was such a missed opportunity. What was that? 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when he had the match with Jeff Hardy.
Oh yeah,
that should have been built up a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that I would have paid pay per view money to see that match.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Well, speaking of pay per views, what a great look at the segue on Reese. Our next thing that we're going to talk about is the AEW Double or Nothing pay per view coming up this Sunday. We are going to be focusing on one situation. Oh, by the way, I guess I need to backtrack. Check out this card. We have Hook and Danhausen versus Tony Nese and Smart Mark Sterling. We should have Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin, but we don't. But we do have MJF versus Wardlow, one of the payoffs, man. This is going to be great. House of Black, which is Malakai Black, Buddy Matthews, and Brody King versus the Death Triangle. You know, that's Pac, Penta, and Rey Fénix. A returning Rey Fénix. It's going to be great. The Jericho Appreciation Society, Jericho and some other guys versus Eddie Kingston, Santana Ortiz, and the Blackpool Combat Club, Brian Danielson, John Moxley in an Anarchy in the Arena match. Matt and Jeff Hardy versus the Young Bucks. Guys, this hasn't been seen since Ring of Honor. This is going to be awesome. We're going to find out who's in the Women's Owen Hart Cup tournament final, and then also who's going to face Adam Cole in the Men's Owen Hart tournament final for that cup. Jade Cargill versus Anna Jay for the TBS title. Jurassic Express versus Team Taz versus Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Tag Team titles. Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb for the AEW Women's World title. Last but not least, Hangman Adam Page, the champ of AEW, versus CM Punk for the AEW World title. That is a stacked card. When AEW puts a pay-per-view out, I feel like we could all agree that, like, there is, because they do very few pay-per-views, they really make sure those cards are stacked. And I feel like things have continued. I think everything looks really good here for this card. I'm very happy with this. But the main event is what we got to talk about. It's Hangman Adam Page versus CM Punk for the AEW World title. And there's a good chance, because Adam Page's world title reign has not gone exactly as we had planned. It's not been the same effect as Jericho's, as Moxley's, or as Omega's. So there is a chance that Hangman Adam Page has the shortest world title reign of AEW's short history, and we get a world title reign from the voice of the voiceless, CM Punk. So I want to know from you guys pros and cons of CM Punk being the world champion from AEW. Dr. Reese, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, so I thought long and hard about this over the past 2 days. And the question that keeps on coming to my head is it going to increase viewership?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it is. With me, I don't think it is. With me, they had their opportunity with Punk came in, what was that, about 8 months ago, 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was their biggest viewership on their Friday show, the B show. Their B show. Their highest ratings ever on the B show when he came in, and they never capitalized on that moment. Yes, a few weeks later, that's when he had Brian Danielson come in and Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. He came in. They had that fantastic match with Omega and Danielson in New York, but they never did capitalize on it. So I don't know, by putting the title on Punk right now, how is that going to benefit anybody? Because there's no storyline. That's one of the biggest flaws right now, I think, with AEW, is they still don't have those main event storylines to really put people in their seats or put people eyes on the TV. So, for example, we're talking about Ric Flair. He could be facing Hogan over the SummerSlam weekend. If you recall back in 94, that's when Hogan first left WWF, now WWE, of course, to WCW.
Yeah.
The very first match was against Ric Flair at Badge at the Beach. And Hogan won. They put the title on Hogan. Yes, that pay-per-view did awesome numbers. Record-breaking numbers for WCW at the time. But people would have paid to see that match regardless if the title was on the line. And what happened? Hogan won the title, and the numbers started to drop again because no one cared about Hogan. The match was fantastic. It was a main event match. Everybody wanted to see it, but after that, it did nothing. Fast forward 2 years later, 1996. The whole storyline of the NWO came in. Hogan turns heel. Of course, a month after that, they put the title on him, and it made sense. It was part of the storyline. The NWO wanted to take over the company. Of course, they need all of the titles to do so as well, too. Back to my point with Punk. They never capitalized when he first came into this company. I do not see how putting the title on him is going to cause any more buzz. Unless there's some type of storyline I'm not picking up on, but over the past couple of weeks, I don't see it.
I think that the only thing that they could do, although it would end up hurting Wardlow, or it would just make no sense, is to then throw MJF back into the CM Punk feud picture, which I think was his strongest feud so far.
But to your point though, why not have MJF go against Hangman then at that point?
Right.
Because I love MJF. I love Punk too, don't get me wrong.
I think that AEW has been at its strongest with a heel champion. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think that works better. I think you made some awesome points. I think that for the mainstream fan, that CM Punk actually, you know, obviously, you know, there's a name recognition there. But I also think that you made some good points too, that the mainstream fan tuned in at first for CM Punk, but it wasn't that many mainstream fans. Like it didn't move the needle away from the actual WWE Raw or SmackDown product. I still believe that AEW's base is the older wrestling fan.
Agreed.
Who enjoys pro wrestling over sports entertainment.
Agreed.
And what you're seeing is you're also seeing people maybe who stopped watching wrestling for a while, probably PG era, who came back. But it's still, in the scheme of things, it's still not crazy sizable numbers. And there's a lot to go in. There's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, wrestling, since people stopped watching Attitude and Ruthless Aggression era, so many things have come into our stratosphere to take our attention away from pro wrestling. So many things. So I think that there's a reason for that. But I would agree with you. I think you got some great points there. Sly, we all know how you feel about CM Punk. You hate him so much. I'm kidding. I do want you to go ahead and just kind of chat us up and give us some pros and some cons here, because I'm on the show every week. I need to hear from somebody different. Talk to us, buddy.
Right. So here's where I got to divert from you guys. Here's why I'm going to make the case that it's a great thing to put the title on Punk. So when Punk first came in, like you said, the needle moved a little bit. And those first few months after Punk was there, the viewership was very good. But it wasn't just because of Punk. Like you said, there were storylines. You had Kenny Omega as the champion, had some great storylines there. You had a great TNT champion in Miro. What's happened with all that? Like you said, Hangman Page's title run has been, like, everyone was excited when it first happened. But you talk about, you know, that dude wasn't on TV for months. And you want to talk about not being in a storyline. He comes back and just immediately is in the title contention. Like, where did that come from? You know, and since then, there's not been a whole lot. Now, one of the negatives is of putting the title on Punk is, you know, it's another WWE guy, right? But those, I'm sorry to say, those have been the most successful run so far, right? Like you said, Jericho, great run. Moxley, great run. Outside of obviously Omega, and not being a WWE guy. But here's the thing with Hangman Adam Page is, even though it is the shortest title run in its history for AEW, it's still not super short, especially compared to some of WWE runs. So you're still keeping the prestige of the title, having, you know, multiple months of Hangman holding on to it. But I don't think it's the time so much as he hasn't defended the title a whole lot. He hasn't fought a whole lot. And CM Punk is out there fighting most nights, you know, and I feel like putting the title on him, maybe he doesn't defend it all the time, but at least we see the championship on TV more versus just more TNT title and that's it, you know? So I'm hoping with if Punk does get this championship. Now, the other thing too, like you likened this possible title win to Hogan winning the title when he first moved over and then kind of fell off. I liken it more to CM Punk's last title run in WWE because he did his best work as a heel champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's kind of what they're leaning towards with how CM Punk has been the last few weeks. And that I feel like is where the viewership tends to go up is when you have a heel well-known champion that people want to see get their butt whipped. And CM Punk, for everyone like the marks like me who love him, he gets crowds to hate him. Like that's good just point. One of his very, very good traits about him. Like he just is excellent at that.
Sly, all good points. My question for you, my friend, is does he need the title to do all that? Or could he just...
I don't think he needs the title for it, no. Because obviously him coming back, you had the whole love fest of him coming back. Mm-hmm. He couldn't go heel. Right? Like, he couldn't. Being gone that long, if they turned him heel, he's still getting cheered regardless, right? So you kind of had to let him go on this love run or whatnot. And then now you can get into that, oh, well, I thought the AEW guys were going to be winning the titles, right? Agreed. Like this yeah. old, like what was CM Punk's thing when he was in WWE? The old part-timers coming in and stealing the title. Now he's kind of taking, now he's not part-time, obviously. He's there nearly every night. But he's coming in as the outsider, so to speak, and winning the title. He can run, he could totally play heel to that, 100%. Mm-hmm. And no, he doesn't need it to do that, but I feel like the title needs it because, like we said, Hangman hasn't had a great run. I don't know who else, like you said, Wardlow would be great. I think Wardlow would be great, but I feel like ascending someone too fast isn't good either, and I feel like that's kind of where, like Wardlow...
Yeah, too soon.
When you skyrocket him like that, the crowd's going to tend to turn, you mm-hmm. know? And not in the good heel way. It's going to be more of the old school, like they were trying to make Roman a face way. You know what I mean? And when it's too fast, the crowd tends to turn. So that's, I like what they're doing with Wardlow. Like definitely play him up, definitely make him the monster among men, so to speak, in the AEW. But I like what they're doing. But that's why I say CM Punk, because I feel like you need a name to hold the championship right now. Because you know, it feels like it just needs that oomph to the title where you have a big name holding it.
Thunder Rosa just did a great interview on Battleground Podcast, a friend of ours. And she talked about representing the company as the face of the AEW women's roster being champion. And there's some merit to that. And so Hangman Adam Page has been representing the company, but the problem is he has been the champion, but everyone's been talking about Punk, Danielson, and Cole for the most part. So
and MJF and Wardlow.
So he's been a little bit of a forgotten champion. I think part of that has to do with the fact that I think that they dropped the ball. AEW sometimes has shades of WCW in that I feel like behind the scenes they're not telling us this, but they really go with some fly by the seat of their pants booking. And I think that, you know, when Adam Page was super hot, and remember they had him lose his title shot basically on TV, it crushed Jared. Jared was never the same. Maybe that's why Jared's not on the podcast anymore. I don't know. But they And then they eventually brought him back, but he was off TV for a long time. We, Chris and I were, and Jared were actually in Philly when we saw Hangman Adam Page, you know, get that, you know, get that title shot with that ladder match, win the casino. But I have to wonder, he had cooled off because he was off TV. Did that hurt momentum? We'll never know. But AEW has confused me at times. Bryan Danielson, for one, when he went up against Hangman Adam Page, he became a heel, like a nasty one to the Dark Order. And it was like, but why? It didn't make a damn bit of sense. It was like from the night before, pay-per-view wise, to then, it didn't make a lot of sense. To your point, Dr. Reese, with the storyline, it was like, well, why'd Bryan Danielson do that? There's not much to it. And that's why you're right. The undercard team seems to have more storyline. My hope is what they do moving forward. If I was them, you have these guys, Hook. They still got to do something with Ricky Starks. Malachi Black is a guy waiting in the wings. I'm hoping. No, you're not a fan, Dr. Reese?
Oh, no, I'm a huge fan. I have a whole storyline planned out for him and Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Just Think Karate Kid Part 3.
Ooh, okay.
Only a little bit darker.
I like that. I think, I love that, by the way.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. I think that, like, a Darby Allin eventually needs to be the underdog Jeff Hardy-style world champion. But I do believe that what they should do is they should have an established guy, and we can call him a WWE guy if you want, be champ for a little bit, lose to an AEW guy who then loses to a WWE guy, and then that, like you know, a star who needs that rub, you know, the new world champion. And eventually what happens is you kind of will run out of WWE guys, and then it's just your own company. But maybe that won't happen just because also there's always going to be free agency. But I'm just saying that if you want to build your own brand, instead of doing the Vince McMahon move, which is anybody who comes into my company loses, you should have, you know, the WWE guys pass the torch to the AEW stars. That would be opposite of what WCW did, even not having guys hang on too long. But if we're going to have a CM Punk title reign, it's got to be now. And if we're going to have a AEW title reign for Bryan Danielson, it's got to be now. Their careers are, I mean, unless they're planning to do Ric Flair matches at 73, I don't know. Right? I mean, I'm not wrong here. We got shortened careers for these guys, right?
They're up there in age. With Punk, obviously did some UFC fighting, but he did take a few years off, so that's going to not hurt, you know, help his body a little bit. Yeah. But you're absolutely right with Bryan Danielson. The nice thing about these guys is, at least to the, you remember when Hogan came back to WWE and he had those, you know, his last few years and whatnot. Like, obviously still a draw, still a name, you know, crowd loved him, but couldn't really go anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. At least these guys can still go.
Yeah.
So that's the one nice thing. That was one of my fears with Punk coming back, was can he still go? And he proved after shaking off a little ring rust he could. And absolutely with Bryan Danielson, still one of the best in the world. But like you said, how much longer do you have of that?
Yeah. I think for me, like if I'm looking into the crystal ball in the future, I think my next three AEW world champions are gonna be CM Punk, followed by MJF, and then Wardlow. And I think Wardlow's gonna be like in a year and a half maybe. I think he's too big. I think he's too, they're gonna need some seasoning on him. So I think they're gonna go ahead and handle that with him. But those are my three. What do you got, Dr. Reese? If you're given, let's just do this right now. Might as well be spontaneous. Give us your next three AEW world champs.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, if we're not counting Punk or not, I don't know. So if he does win, yeah, MJF is going to happen after that. And then the third one, that's a good question. I was thinking maybe a Darby Allin, even maybe a Miro. You still have Adam Cole. You still have a returning Omega pretty soon. I mean, the choices are unlimited. But yeah, I would probably have to go with MJF, and then after that, to be different, I'm going to say Adam Cole. But then that's a heel-heel dynamic. So I take that back as well, too.
Chris,
you're going to have me thinking now.
Well, I wonder if eventually if CM Punk just goes face again, you know, even during the rain. You know, I feel like the crowd's going to have a hard time booing him for long. I just, you know, I mean, he can make us boo him. He knows how to do that. But I feel like there's just that love relationship. Like CM Punk is the new people's champ. Sly, if you could go ahead and give us your prediction for the next three AEW World Champions if Punk wins.
So, yeah, I mean, if Punk wins, so what was interesting what you said about, you know, a WWE to an AEW guy and then vice versa. And it's funny because it's pretty much been that. It's either been an ex-WWE guy losing to an ex-WWE guy or to an AEW guy and then back. So, you know, Adam Cole beating Omega was really the first AEW losing to an AEW guy, right? So if we're going back to the old formula to what worked earlier on, CM Punk would have to lose to an AEW guy. MJF obviously is the answer that pops off, but you know, maybe Omega comes back. You know, like you said, I would love that, and he could be the first time, because if anybody deserved to be the first time two-time champ, it would be Omega, right? So I don't know, but like you said, I really do feel like for Punk's reign to be more successful than not, he could still be moderately successful as a baby face, but a heel turn, I feel like, makes it a super successful run. At that point, you can lose it to an underdog like a Darby Allin, someone along those lines. You know, Moxley has looked great. You know, if that tag team breaks up, maybe he can end up snagging it back as well. I feel like his run was really, really good, and it kind of was cut a little. The way that it ended was kind of weird for me, so I'd like to see him get another run with it.
Speaking of reigns cut short, none of us have mentioned the idea of Bryan Danielson. I mean, I would love to have a Bryan Danielson, you know, and maybe he defends it like every other week, you know, on every other Dynamite, and we get freaking five-star classics every other week plus pay-per-views. I mean, he was cut short for his chance to be the top star for WWE with his title reigns.
So, saying that made me think of what about a Bryan Danielson TNT title?
Yeah, I was about
to. Kind of like with the John Cena US Open Challenge, you know, kind of do the same thing with the TNT title, Brian, because that dude can have a great match with anybody, really.
I would love that. I just worry with the TNT title since it's such a hot potato belt. Another thing to throw in with you mentioning Omega coming back, from what I understand, is that I've been reading, and, you know, it's dirt sheets, so you got to take it with a grain of salt, but when Omega, they're waiting for Omega to come back, and they're going to introduce trios titles. So I think we're supposed to get the trios title. And so, you know, will it be him with the Bucks? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the plan. And then you would have, you know, Adam Cole and Red Dragon, right? And that's a crazy thing. If they bring in the trios title, then we will expect to see a lot more tag team and trios matches. And what that's going to do, though, is that's going to take away, for a little bit at least, some potential main eventers. But that trios title also gives the chance of, oh my gosh, like you already have the trios belt as a trio, and then one of you has the world title. And then maybe there's some friction within the group. You know, there's a lot to be said about the ideas that they could pull off with that. But I do think that if they bring in the trios title, we're going to see a lot more trios matches, especially because it's a great way, you know, you've got all this talent and you've paid them. It's a great way to actually use them. Get six guys in there. You know, they're already on salary. You might as well have them in the ring. So,
yeah, I mean, we just got done talking about, 10 different guys that are possible world title contenders. You know, like you said, take some of them away for a little bit. I mean, some of them are already, like you said, with Moxley and Bryan Danielson, they're already kind of away from the main event scene. But a lot of these guys are easily put back there. So it's kind of nice, like you said, bringing a trios title, have them in the ring, get them wrestling, and, you know, if they're that tier, you can easily slide them around.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I gotta go ahead and say this has been another fantastic show. I think this kind of puts a ribbon on it, because otherwise we're just gonna sit here and book AEW out for a year fantasy wise. Give us the pencil. You know what they need to do, Dr. Reese? We got to figure out some promotion who could use the three of us, right?
Exactly. Somebody
could use the creative juices that are flowing here.
Probably WWE. I hear they got people walking out because they're creative. It's crazy.
Hey, listen, a lot can be, yikes.
Shots fired. Sorry. I didn't mean to throw that in at the end of the show. My fault.
You're okay. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up in a positive way about the WWE, in that Roman Reigns is still the champ and he's still such a great heel, and he's wrestling the best he's ever done. Happy for him for that. Happy that he beat leukemia again, by the way, and is able to even do this. And he's getting what he deserves in terms of the accolades finally. But that's positivity. And we're going to go ahead and stay positive. And we're pretty positive, and so is the internet, that CM Punk is going to win the belt. There is a poll this week on the Sportster website. 63% of people polled say that CM Punk is going to be your new AEW World Heavyweight Champion by the time that this weekend is over. AEW Double or Nothing is on Sunday. There's many ways you can get it. I'll let you decide how you watch it. I'm not going to give you any certain ways, because just like Ric Flair being able to wrestle one more time, you have your freedom, and I want to respect that. So with that being said, this is a great episode. Thank you, Sly, for being on again. Thank you, Dr. Reese, for joining us. Any last words between the two of you guys?
Johnny Elite showed up last week. That was always fun. I thought Mike Tenay was going to say, what's Johnny Elite doing in the Impact Zone?
They should have had him just come out and do that, right? Just on the mic for no reason.
No, always a pleasure, Keith, by the way. Always a pleasure, joining on your podcast.
Yeah, man. I love having you on. Sly, I love having you on as always. Dr. Reese, would you be interested by any chance in being a Jeopardy contestant? Are you any good at the trivia?
I'm pretty good. Sounds like fun. Bring it on.
Can
I have Pug help me?
What's that?
Can I have Pug help me?
Listen, I don't think that we're doing any kind of technology-based situations, but Pug, what the shame of it is if we all lost to Pug, if we lost to a computer, right? That's some Garry Kasparov stuff.
There you go.
that kids, look up that reference. Go learn something. Jared, and by kids I mean Jared from the Wrestling Encyclopedia, Mr. Keith White, 3-time Indian leg wrestling champion and the current mixed tag champion of the world, Chris Sly. And of course, the doctor is in the house from History's What If podcast. Go check out those fantastic episodes wherever you can get your podcasts. This is, once again, Keith White. This is Mixed Tag, and we are